Bible, I want you to turn with me very quickly to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And I want to talk about a subject today that that I hope is going to clarify some things, and I hope it's going to bring you closer to Jesus. I hope it's going to challenge you to make a decision about where He fits into your life if you're a Christian. Because today there's a whole lot of people following personality preachers. There's a whole lot of people following Jesus for the wrong reasons. Stimulated by the promise of the temporal and the material instead of the spiritual and the eternal. And the Christ of the Bible never stimulated people to follow Him that way. One man said, "I will follow you." And he wanted to make sure he understood that if you're following me for the temporal and material, you're following me for the wrong reason. I won't stimulate you to follow me for that wrong reason. So here's how he answered a man that said, "I will follow you." Jesus said, "The foxes have holes. The birds have nests. But the Son of Man doesn't have a place that he can claim as his own in the sense of personal ownership to lay his head." So if you're following me for the temporal and the material, you're following me for the wrong reason. A man went with Paul and preached for the wrong reason. He decided if you preach with a very popular evangelist by the name of the Apostle Paul that miracles were being wrought through, you're going to really go up the ladder of in your own ministry. And he got out there with Paul and found out he wasn't following for the right reason because, amen, Paul said, "I was beaten with rods on three occasions. On five separate occasions, I was given 39 stripes. It wasn't meant to be a death sentence. They stopped at 39 because after 39, many of the victims of this kind of beating went into shock and died. And it wasn't to kill them. It was to beat them and set them as an example that they would never preach what he was preaching anymore." And he said, "On five separate occasions, I was beaten like this. I was given 39 stripes, save one of the Jews. On three separate occasions, I was beaten with rods. Three times in an evangelistic journey, the ship went down. I was shipwrecked. On one of those occasions," he said, "I was in the deep for a day and a night." He said, "I was stoned and left for dead." In other words, they stoned him until they felt that he went unconscious and they believed he was dead. Whether he was dead and God raised him is not clear, or whether they just thought he was dead. But one thing is clear. After that incident, he didn't quit God. And he didn't quit the ministry. And he went on preaching because the next verse of Scripture said that he was found in another city preaching Jesus. Isn't that incredible? He had to be following Jesus for something more than just what God could give him down in this old world. Or he wouldn't have followed Jesus very far. So when Demas hooked up with Paul and trouble started and persecution came and he didn't get rich with the wealth of this world, he quit him and he quit preaching the gospel. And Paul said, "And Demas hath forsaken me, having loved," what? "This present world." Amen? So there's a whole lot of people in church this morning clearly following Jesus for the wrong reason. He had 5,000 people gathered on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. 5,000 were there. He got in a boat. He didn't use anything supernatural for a sound system. Amen. He got his back to the sea. He got in a boat because they were pressing in. He went out just a little distance and made that his pulpit. And the wind coming off the sea carried his words so that 5,000 people could hear him speak. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? And you know what he told them? He had all those people that he could have started a church with. You know what he told them? He said, "If any of you will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and come and follow me." He immediately hit them with a challenge that if you're looking for self-indulgent reasons for following God, you're following for the wrong reason. Amen. If you value the kingdom of God and eternal life and heaven over hell enough to put it above anything the world can offer, then you qualify to come and follow me. So I want to talk to you a minute about either being mastered by Jesus or merchandised by man. Because in the religious system we have today, you're going to have to make a choice about that. Whether you're going to be mastered by Jesus, come under His authority, His lordship, or whether you're simply going to be merchandised, amen, and become part of the flock that's being so expertly fleeced today. Listen to what Peter said. But there are false prophets also among the people. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. I want you to just underscore in your mind the Lord that bought them. That's going to be extremely important to your personal devotional life, that you understand that you were bought with a price. Amen. Listen to this. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. There's a word you don't hear much anymore, the word pernicious. But I'm going to explain that to you a little bit today. It's just talking about, for instance, if last night, if I went down into Ebo City, and I hooked up with some lady down there, and spent the night with her, drunk myself silly and took some drugs, and then came right back in the pulpit and preached as if it really doesn't matter. God's not really concerned about that. All He's concerned about is my faith, because without, and I've got great faith and I'm believing God for great things. That's all that's really important. And other people say, if He can do that, I can do that. Can you say, man? And if you're a Christian, you've got to have a different standard than the world has about how you conduct your life. But there are many people doing these things and seemingly prospering. And people ask me all the time, my dad asks me all the time, why doesn't God just let the hammer down? Why doesn't God, it said He would judge them quickly, swift destruction. And yet some of these people have been doing this for year after year after year after year. Did you know judgment has already fallen on many of them? It's not that they don't exist and they don't prosper and it looks like there's no chastisement in their life, no correction. They just keep on. That's the judgment. That is the judgment. It's a worse judgment than chastisement. It's when God turns people over to a reprobate mind. When He says, I've given you light, I've given you love, I've given you truth, but you've chosen your own way. So I will allow you to walk in your own way. Romans 1 verse 18 said, because when they knew God, they would not worship Him as God, but they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Therefore, here's the judgment. Therefore, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? It's a mind that can't cease from sinning. He says, if you don't want light, see, these are people that had light when they knew God. When they knew God, they would not worship Him as God. Remember when the Beatles came over? How many old enough to remember the British invasion? The Beatles came over. Those mop-headed boys we thought were going to corrupt America. I thought the Beatles are pretty tame, to tell you the truth. Amen. If you see some of the things that are out there today. I mean, really corrupted America. I want to hold your hand. Have you ever heard some of the lyrics today? It's a little more sensual than I want to hold your hand. Can you say, man? Wow. How things have changed. But when they came over, John Lennon made a statement when there was so many crowd of people out there and all those girls were swooning. You know, sometimes we're in meetings where Christians get so overwhelmed by the presence of God, they actually just swoon. We call it falling out under the power of God. Amen. Don't worry. If you're not really seeking God, He's not going to make anything happen to you today. But listen to me. It could happen to you. Amen. But it's not unusual in the world to be just, they were so overwhelmed with the presence of the Beatles that girls just swooned. They fainted dead away. Oh, not only that, I've had best men and grooms. I've supported in 37 years. You know what happens is all this anticipation builds. A best man comes up there and he's in that suit and he's not used to wearing a tie. He's already cutting off the blood flow to his jugular. Can you say amen? And then he locks his legs to stand straight. Amen. In that tenseness, when you lock your legs, there's a great big old artery that runs up your leg. I mean, it's called the femoral artery. cut that sucker, you can bleed to death in about 4 minutes. Amen. You don't have to be shot in the heart. You can be shot, and if it tears and nicks that artery, you got 4 minutes to live before you bleed out. Just thought I'd throw that in. So if you ever get, you know your goners. Pray up. Can you say amen? But they lock that. They got this tie on they're not used to wearing. It's pulled too tight. They're cutting off the jugular. They're locking the femoral artery. And they're standing there. And we're getting ready for the, right in the middle of the valves. And you look up and you hear a big thud. And here's a 6'1", 172-pound football player-looking guy laying dead out on the floor. You have to stop the whole wedding and go and refresh him and try to bring it back. Can you say amen? I've had the groom fall out before. One time the groom he crumpled. He didn't fall over backwards. He just crumpled down on the floor. Amen. We had to get the groom up, wake him up, praise God, and get him back involved in the wedding ceremony. Amen. But people swooning over the Beatles and the crowds everywhere and the fans and the adulation, worshiping creature more than God. John Lennon said, we're more popular than Jesus. Well, John Lennon is gone. His songs remain. But Jesus is entirely different. Many have come along that have had the worship of man. But when Napoleon Bonaparte was in prison and all of his plans to really for world dominion had failed, he said, I have conquered nation after nation after nation. And now I have been conquered. And he said, I am in prison alone, and no one remembers Napoleon Bonaparte. But Jesus Christ, he said, amen. Jesus Christ has followers that has never forsaken him in all these 1,000 years of time, he said. Amen. 2,000 years of time, and they have never forsaken him. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be one of those followers of Jesus today. Listen to this. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I want to read this from the Amplified. Listen carefully. But also in those days shall arise false prophets from among the people, just as there will be false teachers among yourselves, who will subtly and stealthily introduce heretical doctrines, destructive heresies, even denying and disowning the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their immoral, good interpretation in the Greek of pernicious, their immoral ways and lascivious doings, because of them the true way will be maligned and defamed. We're having to live down a lot of the failures in Christian leadership today to even have an influence on people for God. I remember coming down when I was working at Super Brand Products before I retired. I spent 12 years there. I remember coming down the steps. There was a man at the time clock inviting another man to church. He said, why could I come to church? He said, all they want is my money. They don't really care about me or my soul. Why should I bother going to church? All they look at me is what I can contribute. And I was coming down the steps. The man invited him to church, said, what about that man? Because he knew I was a minister of the gospel, and we worked together day in and day out. And he said something that blessed me. He said, well, he's different. Well, I want to continue to be different. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I want people to know what we're in this for. Pamela and I didn't get in this to get rich. And we don't expect to be very rich according to this world's standard of riches. One of these ministers that this Bible is talking about that's on the scene today, amen, is living in a multi-million dollar home, but he wants a bigger multi-million dollar home. The $1.5 million just is a shack to him now. So he's building a $3 million home. It has 6 bedrooms. It has 8 bathrooms. Everybody say 6 bedrooms. 8 bathrooms. What for? What for? How could I live in a $3 million house and ask you to give to me today when I don't need 6 bedrooms? I don't need 8 bathrooms. When I got married, we had an outhouse. Some of you are not old enough or po enough to remember those days. You remember? You was old enough and po enough. You remember. You was, where are you from? Backwoods of Alabama. I knew it was Alabama or South Georgia or Mississippi or Florida back in the day. My mom and daddy had an outhouse, but it was a two-seater. And I felt we were very blessed. We had the Cadillac of outhouses. My wife and I got married. We stayed on our honeymoon in my uncle's little trailer on Pine Street. Between Sefner and Mango, Florida. Exotic place we went for our honeymoon. Can you say amen? My wife started looking about 2 hours into the evening. And she started looking in every little closet. Every little looking for the bathroom in the trailer. And I hadn't told her yet that there is no bathroom in this trailer. Amen. The bathroom's out behind the trailer. Amen. And you take this flashlight right here. And you go out there behind the trailer. And you pray that the spiders and the bugs and whatever else may have come into that area will run when you start coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Been there, done that. I am so happy to have one bathroom. I ministered in Jamaica. We had all these evangelists come with us to go way out in the boondocks where there's no electricity, no running water. We got way out in there, and I was asked the same question by an evangelist. And I mean, this guy I went with, he had that evangelist hair. You think I got that kind of hair? You should have seen his. Amen. And I mean, he just looked, that hair was so pretty. Amen. And dust had got in all that spray by the time we got there. Amen. And the first night we slept in a tent, and when we got up the next morning, all this hair that was pulled back was standing straight out. Amen. It was an incredible thing. But that night, I guess he waited as long as he could. And he said, where's the bathroom? Missionary we were with says, it's over that way. Well, they had actually made a bathroom, but there was no door on it. The men's was on one way and the ladies another. There's no door on it. So he took a flashlight. He said, would you come with me? Now, normally only ladies do that. I don't know why y'all do that. We haven't figured that out yet. It's one of the mysteries of womanhood. Even a lady that don't have to go will go with a lady who does have to go. Amen? Would you show them that? Come on. Okay. All right. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. But this dear brother says, would you go with me? And help me find this. I said, sure. And I got a flashlight, and I went with him. And we found the men's place. But all those people had come in for the meeting. Over 1,000 people had come in for the meeting. So there was a line to the bathroom, and it wasn't a portalet. They had just dug a hole in the ground, and they put a 2x6 or something with... Anyway, I shined my light up there to see where it was. And it would hold 4 people at a time, and there was 4 people sitting there, looking back at me, shining that light on them. I turned the light off. We found the bathroom, but he didn't want to go to that bathroom. So we kept on going way out into the woods in the dark. and he found him a tree. And I tell you, all this preacher stuff, you get out there in missionary work, it's out the window. All this, you got all out the window. And he got out there and found him a tree, and he said, I'm going over behind that tree. Of course, I shut the light off. And he took care of what we all have to take care of sometime. And then he asked me one more request. He said, I got the light. I went with him. He said, did you bring any? Can we be honest today? Brutally honest. They don't have moss over there. Okay? Are you getting the picture? He said, did you bring any paper? I want you to just thank God when you go home and you have a nice bathroom and you have a big old roll of paper. I want you to just say, thank you, Jesus. Because until you're without all of that, you don't know how to appreciate that. Can you? Some of you have never been without that. Can you say, man? Sears and Roebuck catalog. Whatever it is. And I had to go all the way back and try to find something. And after a day or two, you get out of all the presentation of that preacher, you know, that's well-coiffed, and you get into the fact that we're going to rough it out here to tell people about Jesus Christ. And by the end of that meeting, by the end of the meeting, there was 15,000 people that came together, amen, while we cranked up an old generator to give us a sound and stood on a wooden platform and told people, amen, down in Haiti, not in the city, but out in the boonies, about Jesus Christ. And because that many people came together hungry to hear about Jesus, we had a wonderful, powerful presentation of the gospel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we showed the Genesis Project, which was just taking the account in Genesis and putting it in movie form, and not dramatic Hollywood style, but recreating that and showing it on a sheet with a generator running for power between two trees that had been cut and really secured in the ground, that a sheet could be stretched for a screen. And to see those thousands of people, and then to go from the creation to the crucifixion the next night and the resurrection, and to hear people weep when they saw a depiction of Jesus on the cross, and to hear them cry out, oh, Jesus, and weep. And we hear about Jesus every Sunday and look for something more to entertain us. I want to be mastered by Jesus, not merchandised by men. Verse 3, and the Amplified said, and in their covetousness, lust, and greed, they will exploit you with false, cunning arguments. From of old, the sentence of condemnation for them has not been idle. Their destruction, eternal misery, has not been asleep. One paraphrase says, in their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. Someone said, when the church is offended by truth, denies the word of God, reviles those who are faithful, and in practice mocks God's authority, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And it's a sign of the last days. They are dishonest, professing Him in words, but in works they deny Him. Titus 1:16 said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Would you want to hear me this morning if I was in a club last night? Drinking and drugging? There's more to Christianity than just going to church or claiming Christ. Amen. There's no such thing as Jesus becoming your Savior and you and I deciding to what degree we'll allow Him to be our master. There's no place in the Bible that there is a Savior and Lord presented. Every place without exception, He is Lord and Savior. And when we come to Him as Lord and Savior, the master of our life, the Bible said you're not of your father the devil anymore. You don't belong to him. I don't guess you remember Robert Zimmerman, better known as Bob Dylan, the folk singer. He wrote a song when he had a little brush with authentic Christianity. And you know what it said in the song? You may be a doctor, you may be a lawyer, you may be a pauper, you may be a king, but you got to serve somebody. Can you say amen? You realize today there are people in here who may think, I don't serve anybody. I don't bow to nobody. Sure you do. I used to preach in jail. And in the jail, I would tell people, I said, the devil sold you a bill of goods. He sold you a lie because he's told you, I don't listen to anybody. I don't bow to nobody. I do my own thing. I said, no, you don't. Look where you are. Look where that landed you. I said, you eat when they tell you to eat. You eat what they tell you to eat. I eat what I choose. I have liberty because I bow to God. and I bow to authority. And I'm free. It sets me free. Doesn't put me in a box. It gets me out of the box. Gets me out of the prison house of sin and self. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't need drugs to get high. I don't need booze to calm me down. God's peace kicks in. As my wife described it this morning, exactly what the Bible says, it's a peace that passes all understanding. And when it comes, there's nothing like it. I don't need a synthetic. Hallelujah. I can walk out of this prison, I told them. As soon as our hour and 15 minutes is over, I'm going out of here. Because I do submit to God's authority. And I submit to the laws of the land. And He gives me freedom. Amen. Freedom. People look at Christians as people that don't have fun. Honey, I've been where they say fun is. And I'm not going to tell you fun isn't fun for your flesh. It is, but it don't last. It never lasts. But what I've got inside of me lasts. Can you say, man, this is better than fun. This is called joy. Amen. And the Bible said of Jesus in that early church, whom having not seen you loved with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And friend, that's fun. Can you say, man, that's real fun. Oh, I used to have fun and get drunk. Anybody in here ever do that? This lady said she did it a lot. I'm so glad for Ruth's honesty. She's from the UK. Praise God. She's one of those, you know, British ladies. Praise God. Amen. I remember drinking, and I'm supposed to be having a good time. And I remember falling down, busting my lips on the concrete, and not even being so numb with drink, I couldn't feel the fact that I was bleeding from the mouth. This is a good time. Wow, this is so wonderful. Amen. What a wonderful time that I'm having. I remember getting so sick, I'd go home and hug the commode and just wish that I could get it all up out of my stomach, my system. Wow, we had a good time. Okay, I worked with the people that did that all weekend long and come into the job at Tampa Electric hungover and take it out on me. And I thought, oh, what a wonderful time all of these people had over the weekend. What a wonderful time the man had, amen, that went through a stop sign and killed somebody while under the influence, ruined his life, his career, and is going to spend so much of his life in prison and come out with that hanging over him. Oh, what a wonderful time we had. What a party we had. I think we need to quit apologizing for Christianity. This sets you free, man. There's freedom in this thing. Praise God, whom the Son sets free is really free. I like Jesus being my master. I love Him being my Lord. Everywhere in the New Testament that you see the word servant, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. I love your email name. This is our minister of media here. Stand up and let him see you. He's behind the bush. Praise God, there he is. He really exists. Hallelujah. Amen. Behind the scenes of our radio and our website. Listen, amen. Doulos is his web name. Doulos. And it's the word for servant in the Greek. And it's a strong word, way stronger than servant. Everywhere doulos is rendered, it is bond slave. Oh, you mean I'm going to have to become a slave? No, you don't have to. If you really appreciate what the Lord has done for you, you'll want to. Everywhere servant is, it's slave. I've seen the slaves of sin. I've seen people addicted and became a slave to their addiction. And I've seen people that were the servants or bond slaves of Jesus. And they're free people. They live free from all of these other things. Can you say amen? It's good to be free from addiction today. Amen. I remember when I used to quit smoking once every year. Every New Year's resolution, I was going to quit smoking. Every New Year, I'm going to quit. And I quit smoking Lucky Strike and Camel back in the day. And I started, those were non-filtered, by the way, because the way they sold them, they'd show a doctor in a white coat telling you about the wonderful tobaccos there are in a Camel. Anyway, I was so addicted. I'd wake up with the honky flu. Honking my head off, nose run all night. The first thing I would reach for wasn't a cough drop or cough syrup. First thing I'd reach for is my cigarette. First thing in the morning. And then I'd really set me off coughing, but it didn't matter because I needed my nicotine fix. So I would quit at the first of every year. And then at work, we'd get down to lunch. I'd eat lunch. And it hit me. And it hit me bad. And I'd go over to somebody I worked with and say, "Hey, man, you got one of those I could borrow. I'm going to borrow it." Then you say, so I would borrow a cigarette. And I would puff it, enjoy that thing. Amen. And we'd get down to our last break. And since I already had that one, I thought, well, you know, I already broke my resolution. So I'm going to borrow another one. And I wanted to borrow another. Finally, they quit. They said, "Listen, you know, we can't buy cigarettes for us and for you." I said, "But you don't understand. I quit." They said, "Well, you better start again because you ain't going to get no more of my cigarettes." And so then I had to go out and go ahead and concede that I had been defeated in that and take it right back up again. It feels so good when I came to Christ. Amen. And he took those things that enslaved me away. And listen, far beyond the nicotine, he took more than that. He took things in my life that I couldn't conquer, that threatened our marriage and everything else. He began to remove those things from my heart. Whom the Son sets free, make no mistake about it. Whom the Son, if you really meet Jesus, not just go to church and get religion, but meet Jesus. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is not just reciting a creed or a catechism. This is making Jesus the Lord of your life and the Savior of your soul and the sovereign of your being. Doulos means bond slave. Something Jesus said is so impressive to me if you know the background. When he began his public ministry, he walked into the temple at 30 years of age. He picked up the book, the Old Covenant. He opened it to the book of Isaiah. And he began to read of himself prophesied in Isaiah. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me." Listen to the liberating power of this. He's anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the gospel to the poor, poor in spirit, and to declare the acceptable day of the Lord. If you get a good reference Bible, it will point you back to the year of Jubilee. Everybody say the year of Jubilee. That's when people who owed debts and had become a bond slave to work out that debt for maybe 6-7 years. A time come when every bond slave in Israel had to be released, whether they had finished the time or not, paid the debt or not. Every bond slave was released from any debt and given gifts by those they worked for. And they could go out free and start their new life as free men and women. And no wonder they called it the year of Jubilee. I don't know about you, but it's been a long time since God set me free. I'm going on 64. That happened when I was 21, going on 22. I have been a free man all these years. And I'm still rejoicing in the freedom that I have in Jesus Christ today. Amen. I look at young people walking down the mall, got money to go to the show, got money to buy designer jeans, drove up in a car, Lord have mercy, hallelujah, amen, and looking like they've been sucking persimmons. No joy, no peace, because the world can't fill that hole that only Jesus can fill. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me. Amen. I've never envied the silver and gold of this world without Jesus in his rightful place in your life, it won't mean anything. Amen. Rolling Stone interviewed Brad Pitt. And they were just in awe of Brad Pitt because Brad and Angelina are the thing for a little while. Didn't he get most sexiest guy in America? I know he edged me out just by maybe that much one time. It's in People magazine. Sexiest guy in America, Brad Pitt. You want him to star in your movie? Pre-contract, give him $20 million up front because his name is going to bring people to the theater. And you know what he told Rolling Stone in a candid moment? His own words? "People think I've got it made." Of course they do. What more could you want? You got looks. You got talent. You got fortune. You got fame. You got Angelina Jolie. Amen? So you got a mansion. You got a Maserati. You got a Rolex. You're set for life. What more could you want? You've got it made. He said, people think I've got it made. He said, I want to tell you something. I don't even know what it is. But someday I hope I find it. Because he didn't find it in fortune. He didn't find it in fame. He didn't find it in the handsomeness or the macho-ness of his body and being. You know why? Because there's a hole inside every man, woman, boy, and girl that only Christ can fill. And until he fills that hole, people are going to keep looking for something to fill it. Amen. If Brad Pitt hadn't found it, I don't think you're going to find it until you find Jesus in a real, genuine, authentic relationship. Can you say amen? But I know what it is. I have found it. Can you say amen? Therefore, I feel far richer than Brad Pitt today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hey, are you listening to me? Amen. Because I have peace in my heart. I have joy in my spirit. I have eternal life waiting for me. Death is not going to end this thing. I don't need what Brad has. He needs what I have. He hasn't found it. The church is supposed to have it. The kingdom of God. The Savior. Jude 1 and 4 speaks of ministries that don't show the value of the kingdom and said, for certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you a quote from a man's wife who was on television and deceiving people for many years. She said his male ministry is a lie. Total deception. Reason the cat's not getting out of the bag because one of the major networks did an expose of the ministry and it was shown on national television and cable. So this is not telling something that's not been told nationally. Something the church has to live down by living right and doing this thing right. His male ministry is a lie. A total deception. He does not write those letters. This guy hires people to come up with schemes to get people to turn loose and give to the ministry. He does not even proofread them before during our marriage. He makes it sound like he's writing just to you. And this is what God spoke to me for your life. Jesus will appear to you tonight, he says. If you sleep with this little red cord under your pillow, you will prosper. He doesn't even know what's going out to those people. And he doesn't care as long as they send their money in. By the way, his income from his ministry is $25 million annually. One time he said in one of those letters that was sent, I will be taking these to the East Coast to pray for you by the ocean, just like Jesus prayed for his people by the Sea of Galilee. So we flew to Fort Lauderdale. Checked into a 4 or 5 star hotel on the beach and got a nice penthouse view of the ocean. And she said, this is stealing from God's people. Most of those people are on welfare. And he even said, what I do is look at a map and where we go, and we go after the ghettos. We go after those on welfare. We go after those that don't read very well, because he knows they will not get in their Bible. They will not search it for truth. They will listen to what he says. Those that are in lower socioeconomic backgrounds, that's who we send our letters to. That's the target. People hurting, people struggling, people that can barely make it. Someone said Christianity began as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When it went to Athens, it became a philosophy. When it went to Rome, it became an organization. When it went to Europe, it became a culture. When it came to America, it became a business. Ron L. Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, once said, and I quote, "Writing for a penny a word is ridiculous. If a man really wanted to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion." While our modern day evangelists have not started their own religion, they've unquestionably improved on Hubbard's idea. Capitalizing on Christianity has proved to be far more lucrative than starting a new religion. But the scripture says of them in Romans 16:18, "People do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And through smooth speech and flattering, they deceive the hearts of the innocent." When you serve your belly, it means that you are self-indulgent. The true gospel of Jesus Christ teaches the exact opposite of self-indulgence. It teaches self-denial. And when I say self-denial, I see all those negative connotations. I'm going to do without something I really want or need. No, you're going to get something that will fulfill you, so those things you think you need are not near as important. Amen? Somebody said, if I could just find the right man, I would be happy. There's a lady at work. Her name was Shirley Wright. And I used to kid her all the time. I said, there's a woman who married Mr. Wright. Amen. Everybody's looking for that person to fulfill them. I'm going to let you in on a clue. You're going to put an undue pressure on a person to fill a hole that only God can fill. Nobody's that great to fulfill you if you're not spiritually fulfilled in Jesus. Used to, Christian marriages represented that fulfillment. We stayed together. We made it. But now the divorce rate among Christians is right up there with anyone else. Because Christianity isn't challenging people to get into an intimate personal relationship and an encounter with Jesus Christ. We're offering church and religion and religious entertainment that won't fill that place any more than the world can fill it. Can you say amen? Only Jesus can do that. Woman came to the well in John's Gospel, chapter 4. She came to draw water. She was Syrophoenician. And the Jews of that day had nothing to do with Gentiles, and so they wouldn't even talk to her. She had a bad reputation. She'd been married 5 times, decided to give up on marriage and relationships and just live together, because they all broke her heart. They all fell apart. So now she's just living with a guy. Jesus is sitting in the shade of Jacob's well, and Jesus encounters this woman. He says, "Woman, give me some water to drink when you pull it up." And the lady looks over at him shocked, seeing he was a Jew and evidently a rabbi and a righteous man, that he would even speak to her. And then he spoke to her some more. And he said, "Woman, if you draw from this water, you're going to thirst again. You're going to come back to this well again and again and again and again. But if you knew who it was that said unto you, 'Give me here to drink,' you would ask of me, and I would give you living water." Everybody say living water. If you've never tasted it, you don't have a clue. But if you've drank from that fountain, you know exactly what I'm talking about today. He will give you living water, the water of life, and you will never thirst anymore. In other words, you won't have to be looking through sinful practices and bad relationships for that only God can give. And she said, "Sir, give me then this water." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And listen, she went back into her community and was so convincing that a whole community came out to hear Jesus speak. Amen. Amen. She said, "Come and see a man." Because he went on to tell her that he knew everything about her and loved her and wanted to give her what she really needed. Not to point his finger at her or put her down, but to say, "I know what you're looking for, and I've got what you're looking for." Can you say amen? And if you can find that in me, you won't need to sin anymore. Does that mean we won't ever sin? No, we will. But we will not be looking through this world for what we know we can only find in God. I've been married going on 47 years. I'm glad we've made it this far. Amen. We haven't made it because Prince Charming came along on his white horse or his white Mustang. I didn't have a Mustang. I had a 54 Pontiac Straight 8 on its last legs that my daddy gave me. as a wedding present. A 54 Pontiac, straight eight. I drove it all the way to the Sippin' Smack in Brandon. Amen. Pulled in, wedding night. Pulled into the Sippin' Smack. Honeymoon night. Going to get that cheeseburger. We're going to do it upright. Praise God. We got my uncle's trailer with an outhouse. We're gonna have cheeseburger and French fries. Amen. The big old tall Coke. We're on our honeymoon. I went over to the Sippin' Smack. Brandon pulled in, ordered it to go. They brought out my bag, my cheeseburger. They brought out those cool drinks. I couldn't wait to get back to my bride. Amen. I remember turning the key to start it up. I turned the key, and it made a noise, and it smoked, and something went bang, and it threw a rod through the crankcase of my car. I was sitting with my cheeseburger on my wedding night in Brandon, amen, about 9 or 10 miles from where my wife is waiting for my new wife. This is on our wedding day. This is our wedding night. And the waitress saw me sitting there, and she said, "Is anything wrong?" I said, "My car just threw a rod." She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I thought, "You don't understand. It's not just a car and it's broke down. This is my wedding night." I had to call my daddy. He had to call a wrecker. I had no money. He had to pay for the wrecker. The car is broke. The wrecker. But you know something? When I got that old cold hamburger and I finally got back home, and there was no phone to tell my wife. She didn't know what happened to me. She didn't know if I got cold feet and run off. What happened? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I came back, and I come in with my little bag, two cold cheeseburgers, and a Coke with all the ice melted, sweating down. Amen. But when I saw her, it didn't matter anymore. She's the love of my life. And as long as we could be together, we didn't need fish eggs. Caviar. Can you say, man? We didn't need prime rib. We had each other. And what Jesus was saying, if you get what I have to offer you, you won't be looking for something through people that can't give it to you, in a world that can't give it to you. You'll find it in me. And if you find a relationship, you won't make a demand on someone to do for you what only God can do for you. And you can be more giving in that relationship instead of just taking. How many know being the right person is more important than just finding the right person? Just thought I'd run that by you just in case you're still looking. Maybe that some changes need to be made in ourselves. I love my wife. I love my master. I used to work, and I can't finish all of this, but I remember at work, I would do it as unto the Lord, like the Bible said, because I do love my master. But people are always shocked when they said, "Why are you doing that? Why are you still in there? Everybody else has quit. Everybody else has run off hiding somewhere till quitting time. And here you are in here cleaning and mopping. You're not going to get paid any more than that. I'm not going up with the company, because when they offered me to go up, I knew it would take me away from my Sunday services, so I refused it. So it's not going to help me with the company. It's not going to make me any more money." But the Bible said, "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. For you will be rewarded of the Lord Christ." Well, what did God give you? His peace, His joy, His health. Praise God. I mean, God has been good to me. Amen. I have preached for 37 years in January, and I've never called in a Sunday to miss a service. God's been good to me. That's the grace of God. I'm not all that. I'm not into health food. It's got to be the grace of God. And they'd come by and say, "Why are you doing that?" They wanted to know. I said, "Because I love my master." My master. Let me tell you about the Jubilee thing, and we'll try to quit this morning. Listen. There were slaves, bond slaves to a master. And that year of Jubilee would come. The debt is paid, even though they might owe a year on it. And the only way to pay a debt then, if you didn't have money, was to go to work for somebody and serve them to work out the debt. It's called a bond slave. You owe a debt. You have to work for that person. Some of them went to work for a master that loved them. protected them, provided for them, never treated them with anything but respect. And they didn't want to leave. They did not want to leave. You know what they would do? And this is kind of a weird custom, but it was the custom of the day. They would take, has anybody ever had a piercing, tongue, nail? Don't even go any other places. We'll just stay above the neck. Can you say amen? Anybody ever had a piercing? It's okay, wave it. There's somebody had one. There's somebody. I've seen them do it to babies. I never have got up, even if I could, and I don't want one, but if I could, I wouldn't, you know, you get that little thing, they freeze it or something, and they pierce it. You know, I don't even like the pin in my finger. That bothers me. But anyway, you know what they would do? Before you freak out, other people do this in our day. But you know what they did it for? They would go to the doorpost of the house of the master they didn't want to leave in love. And they said, I want to commit myself to this master for life. There's no way I can take the money he's going to give me and my freedom and go out here. I'm going to have to work for somebody. I'm not going to be a millionaire, self-sufficient, and have servants. So if I'm going to work for somebody, I'm going to work for somebody I know is going to treat me right. I'm going to work for somebody I know is going to take care of me and protect me and provide and be good to me. I'm not leaving here. Y'all go if you want to. I'm staying. And I'm staying by my own will. And you know what they would do? They'd take their earlobe and put it up here, and they'd take a little thin nail and a wooden maul. Oh, come on, you that are making faces, they do it all over. They do it to their tongue. This is just your earlobe. Don't stick out your tongues. I don't want to know. Amen. Here we go. And they went through the ear, and then they pulled it back out. And you know what that symbolized? You know what it symbolized? It said, by the volition of my own will, this master has loved me, blessed me, and I'm going to serve this master for the rest of my life. And that's why the word doulos is not offensive. Amen? Normally we're offended by the word slave until we see it in the biblical context of loving a master that gave his son to save us and redeem us. Can you say amen? And say, this master is worth my servitude for the rest of my life. I don't have an issue with him being my Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. He's brought me out of sin slavery. Serving him sets me free. It doesn't put me in a box. Amen? I like what A.W. Tozer said as we get ready to try to close. By the way, Jesus taught us to deny ourselves and take up our cross in order to follow him. False teachers teach us to indulge ourselves, reject all suffering in the flesh in order to follow them and be like they are. You see the dichotomy? You see the difference? It's self-denial. And when we hear that word self-denial, we think we're going to lose something. No, you just make room so God can fill you with himself. Can you say amen? Oh, you didn't hear me today. I said, you make room so God can fill you with himself. And when he fills you with himself, there's a peace that passes understanding. It becomes joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. And there's nothing like that in all the world. Brad Pitt can't find it. You know who else don't have it? Believe it or not, with all the riches of the world, Bill Gates. Bill Gates is a multi-billionaire. Not the worth of Microsoft, the company. His personal wealth is $58 billion. Everybody say 58 billion. Everybody say 58 billion. That's what I said the first time I read it. I couldn't even... billion. Are you kidding me? His personal wealth. And someone asked Bill Gates, the founder and CEO and head of Microsoft, about his religious faith. And here's what he had to say. In the sheer allocation of time, I do not have time for religion. That's when I knew what a poor man he is. How do you know he's poor? Because one day Bill Gates is going to draw his last breath. And when he draws his last breath, he's not going to cease to exist according to Scripture. He's going to live somewhere forever. Amen? I don't want a preacher telling me how to have what he's got. I want somebody telling me about this living water. Can you say, amen, that fulfills me now and gives me eternal life in the world to come? I don't think you can beat that. A.W. Tozer, who is a great minister of days shortly gone by, who said, I have preached myself out of many pulpits. I have also got that distinction. He said, but if I see aright, according to the Scriptures, the cross of popular evangelism is not the cross of the New Testament. It's rather a new bright ornament upon the bosom of self-assured and carnal Christianity, whose hands are indeed the hands of Abel, but whose voice is the voice of Cain. The old cross slew men. The new cross entertains them. The old cross condemned sin. The new cross amuses. The old cross destroyed confidence in the flesh. The new cross encourages it. The old cross brought tears and blood. The new cross brings laughter. The flesh, smiling and confident, preaches and sings about the cross. Before the cross, it bows toward the cross. It points with careful, staged histrionics. But upon that cross, it will not die. And the reproach of that cross, it stubbornly refuses to bear. The new cross encourages a new and entirely different evangelistic approach. The evangelist does not demand abnegation of the old life before a new life can be received. He preaches not contrast, but similarities. He seeks to key into public interest by showing that Christianity makes no unpleasant demands. Rather, it offers the same thing the world does, only on a higher level. Are you listening? Whatever the sin-mad world happens to be clamoring for at the moment is cleverly shown to be the very thing the gospel offers. Only the religious product is better. The new cross does not slay the sinner. It just simply redirects him. It gears him into a cleaner and jollier way of living. It saves his self-respect. To the self-assertive, it says, come and assert yourself for Christ. To the egotist, it says, come and do your boasting in the Lord. To the thrill seeker, it says, come and enjoy the thrill of the worship service. The Christian message is slanted in the direction of the current vogue in order to make it acceptable in public. Are you ready to hear about the true cross, the old cross, the only cross? The old cross is a symbol of death. It stands for the abrupt, violent end of a human being in the sense of the flesh. The man in Roman times who took up his cross and started down the road had already said goodbye to his friends. He was not coming back. You know why there's water baptism? What it symbolizes? The Bible said we've been buried with him. That man, before he came to Christ, is considered dead. That man who served sin, Satan, and self is considered dead. And buried with who? With Christ. Everybody say, buried with Christ. Buried with Christ. And done what? Do we stay in the grave? No, a new man emerges. Amen. If any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creation. Old things what? Pass away. Everything becomes what? New. The paradigm has shifted, hasn't it? The value system has changed. He marches to a different... Terry prayed it this morning, the opening. Right along with the sermon. We march to the beat of a different drummer. We're not trying to compete with the world. Hallelujah. We're living a different way. Hallelujah. By a different value system. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we find joy in the journey because living water is real and obtainable. Hallelujah. The cross made no compromise. Modified nothing, spared nothing. It slew all of the man completely and for good. It did not try to keep on good terms with its victim. It struck cruel and hard, and when it had finished its work, the man was no more. We're dead, buried with Christ, and we are raised to do what? To walk in the newness of life. You don't give up something, you make room so God can give you something better. Everybody say, make room so God can give you something better. I'm 64. I've went through the middle age crazies. I'm not in middle age anymore. There may be some old age crazies to come, but I'm past the middle age crazies. I'm not looking for 3 gold chains and unbutton my shirt to here, amen, and get me a sports car and a pair of sunglasses and pretend that I'm hot stuff. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? It's so good to not have to compete anymore. I'm happy with my wife. I'm happy with my life. It's so good to be happy and not in competition. It's okay for me to age. There's a spot on my head that I can cover conveniently if I comb my hair a certain way and spray it before it moves. You got to catch it quick and hit it at the same moment. And you can conveniently cover up. Yes, sir. But you see, you got to let that grow a little bit. You can do it too, my brother. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise God. There's a confident man right there. You know, it's when your brain gets big and it just keeps growing and growing and pushes right through your hair and shows your intelligence. Hallelujah. Amen. My brain is beginning to grow like that. Let me tell you something. It's so good to be free. It's so good to be happy. It's so good to be fulfilled. It's so good to have Christ in your life. Can you say amen? It's so good to be able to stand beside a Brad Pitt and say, I got something he don't have. Amen. And I got something he needs because he hasn't found it and I have found it. And the it is a person and the person is Jesus. Amen. And what I found through him is eternal life in the world to come and fulfillment in the life I'm living here. And it don't get no better than that, to quote a beer commercial. Amen. Tozer said the race of Adam is under the death sentence. There's no commuting of the sentence, no escape. God cannot approve any of the fruits of sin, however innocent they may appear or beautiful to the eyes of men. God salvaged the individual by liquidating him and then raising him to the newness of life. Make no mistake about it, to die in yourself, taking up the old cross of death to the flesh, will not leave you empty and unfulfilled. It will in fact empty us of the old life that God may fill us with the new life. Everybody say, the new life. New life. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to finish. But listen, I wouldn't trade anything for what I have in Jesus Christ. I will not and I refuse to be part of those people, blind following the blind. I will not be merchandised. I want somebody to present a Jesus that's worth me committing to, without playing these silly, stupid church games. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I don't want the flesh to master me, the world to master me, the devil to master me. I know I've got to serve somebody, and I choose it to be Jesus. And that's what Paul said. He said, Paul, a servant. Doulos, say it with me, doulos. A bond slave to Jesus Christ. What do we owe him for? What do we owe him for? We owe him for the fact that while we were sinners, he chose to come and take our place on the cross, to suffer and to die and to shed his precious blood. And there's a value to that that I can never repay, but I can serve him with all that I am and all that I have for all of my life. And I can do it gladly. Can you say amen? Amen. And I can do it because I love him. I'm just reciprocating love to him. The Bible said we love him because he first loved us. Praise God. Do you have that song, more precious than diamonds, more costly than gold? If you don't, it's okay. If you don't, do number one on here. We got a redeemer. Listen, everybody say peculiar people, and we'll close quickly. The Bible said you're a royal priesthood if you're a Christian. New Testament says you're a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a holy nation, a chosen people, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. Now, I know some of you sitting out there say, I'll say. Can you say amen? It's not the word peculiar in the Greek that we would look in our English language. That word peculiar means odd and different. Well, we are odd and different. We have a different value system. They thought it was odd at work that I would give up a pay raise in order to be in church on Sunday. How odd is that? You're taking that religion stuff too seriously. You could have $12,000 more a year. Hey, $12,000 more would help me. Anybody here $1,000 a month more than you're making now, would that help you at all financially? But it would bankrupt me spiritually. There's things that God can give you that money can't buy. And they thought I was odd, but it's not that kind of peculiar. Odd. I used to read just for my personal enjoyment, just in some of that kind of, you know, reading that you do when you're just sitting somewhere. Amen. But anyway, I used to read. I don't know why that is, but it just is, isn't it? Okay, but anyway, I was reading, and it was kind of trivia, and I was reading true things found on headstones. One guy said, he just wanted to get away from people his whole life and be left alone. And he said, I want to be dead now. I want to be dead forever. Anyway, something to the extent I want to be dead forever and ever. A lot of crazy stuff on headstones. Real strange and unusual, sometimes comical sayings that people wanted to be engraved on their headstone. There was a lawyer in New England. His last name was Odd, O-D-D. And so he decided all my life, from grade school on up, people have made fun of my name. Odd. He's an oddball. He's an odd guy. I mean, they just laughed it up because his last name was Odd. So he said, when you bury me, I want you to put the date, born, died. My friends and family will know where the grave is so they can find out where it is. But I do not want my last name on the gravestone. So James C. was buried here. And the guy that engraved it had no longer gotten done engraving it on there, because he came out to the cemetery to do it. He didn't do it like they pre-do it now. And he engraved it on there. And he was getting ready to walk away loading his tools up. And a couple looking for a loved one in that graveyard was looking around. Looking at gravestones. And they came up to this man's, and it said James C. And the date of birth, the date of death. And wife said, come here, honey. Look at this. Here's a gravestone with low last name. And the guy said, well, that's odd. Sometimes you can't get away from that. Can you say, man? That's odd. He just couldn't live it down. Even in death, he couldn't live it down. You know what peculiar means in our language? Odd. You know what it means directly, distinctly in the Greek that it was written in? Bought. 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 Someone that has been bought. That means redeemed with a price. If you bought something, you paid for it. The Bible said that you are what? Bought with a price. And what is the price? Who bought you? God did. And what was the price? The blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say, man, I don't want to leave this master who redeemed me. Redeem means to buy back by the paying of a ransom. And the scripture said you were not redeemed with the things that corrupt, corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious. We got to hold it precious. That price has to be held precious again in the church of Jesus Christ, with the precious blood as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Can you say amen? We owe him everything. We owe him our all. There's an ancient book. We're going to sing this song before we leave this morning. It's an ancient book in the Bible called the Book of Job. Job lost everything he had through a test of his faith. His family, his friends, his self-respect, his health, his wealth, his worldly possessions. His wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And he had a revelation of what was coming past this world. He wasn't mealy-mouthed or vague. He spoke in absolutes. He said, "I know my Redeemer lives, the one who pays the ransom for my soul." That's our peculiarity. We've been bought with a price. We belong to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Isn't that a wonderful, exclusive peculiarity about true Christians? We are not our own. We pierce our ear to the doorpost and pull it out and say, "Jesus is my Lord and my Master. He won't abuse me. He won't merchandise. He's interested in me for far more than what I can contribute financially. He wants me for His own. He wants me to live with Him forever. He wants to fulfill me with Himself." Can you say amen? What a wonderful Savior we serve. What a wonderful Savior we have in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Will you stand to your feet? We're going to sing this last song. How many in this room know your Redeemer lives? I'm going to ask that during this song, if you don't know Christ and you want to know Him, that you would step forward. And I'm going to ask, while this song is playing and we sing the chorus of it, because this is our uniqueness as a peculiar people, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What do you want to do? Do you want to be merchandised? You want to follow people who can't set an example to you? People who live their own life just like the world, ever getting, never having enough? Or do you want to take up your cross? Instead of living in self-indulgence, deny the flesh, but not deny yourself, because you're more than your body and your flesh. And when Jesus is able to give you spiritual fulfillment, you're going to find out that the things of this world, like the song says, grow strangely what? Dim. You can go by a Mercedes showroom in your Ford and thank God for your Ford. Amen? Because you've discovered what this thing's really all about. Hallelujah. You won't sell your soul for stuff that you can't take with you anyway. If there's anyone here that needs Jesus, I'll just ask you to come forward. You want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Not get religion, but come to know Christ. You are so welcome to come. If the Lord draws you, feel free to come. We all did that at some point, somewhere in time. Amen. I know my Redeemer lives.